you got something for me?
Yeah, there was some guy here from Miles Juergens looking for you. They need sparring partners for Apollo Creed.
Put me on.
There's a car.
When was it here?
About an hour ago.
They're probably looking for sparring partners for Creed, you know?
I said that before, you dumb Dago!
You know, I've been coming in for 6 years, and 6 years you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I want to know how come.
You want to know?
I want to know!
Okay, I'm going to tell you. Because you had the talent to become a good fighter. And instead of that, you became a leg breaker to some cheap second-rate loan shark.
It's a living?
It's a waste of life.
Yo, yo. Lost generation, fast-paced nation, world population confront their frustration. The principles of true hip-hop have been forsaken. It's all contractual and about money-making. Pretend to be cats, don't seem to know their limitation. Exact replication and false representation. You want to be a man, then stand your own. To MC requires skills, I demand some shown. I let the frauds keep fronting and roam like a cellular phone. Far from home, giving crowds what they wantin'. Official hip-hop.
So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
Damian, hi. I'd like to welcome you to this world. It's a new world we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Brady's dead. Oh, right? The Eagles did it. They killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I am waiting for the announcement of his retirement.
You'll have to wait 2 years. That is true.
Essentially, he'll have a press conference where he'll just throw down the ball and say, "I'm not playing with you again." Is that what you're expecting?
You guys, that's what I want deep down inside.
You guys are mean.
I should have won.
He got to the Super Bowl. Pretty sure he's going to run it back. Pretty sure he's going to go, "I missed by 2 points." Let's do this again and have the coach fix the defense. And I should win. You keep forgetting that I don't have a problem with Tom Brady.
But I still thought you might be interested in this post-Tom Brady world.
I like him because he's good at the sport.
No, we don't care about that part. he is the Tonya Harding of NFL.
No, he's the... He's the Sir Alex Ferguson. All right, we get it already.
Don't like
better
his
than
face.
Everyone. Just retire, old asshole. And then you retired and you were bad forever.
Like, I'm thinking about it in relation to the NFL. And, like, the only names that pop up in my head that kind of come close to how crazy Brady kind of is, is Brett Favre. And, you know when Thomas' name goes in and out of your mind?
You're probably thinking Jerry. Of the Broncos. Oh, Jerry. I almost said Jerry Young. What's wrong with me?
Jerry West?
Jerry.
It's not basketball.
Okay, yeah.
Tom and Jerry.
He played for the 49ers. Yeah.
Yes. The Dolphins.
The Dolphins.
And, it just kept going, and everyone kept going, "We get it, you're great, just retire now." But they kind of had their finish off stage where people went, "You should have retired 2 years ago." Yeah. And I feel like right now is that minute for Tom Brady.
Absolutely.
I feel like next year, he's just going to not exist anymore.
You know what, Andrew, the one thing I'd say to you is, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And
first.
The justification I would give is, he went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So,
and he's been old now for what, 5 years?
No. I'm predicting that magic comes and next year he's just utter garbage.
Oh, that's possible.
I assume you're planning a trip to Boston at some point where you're going to happen across Tom Brady.
So essentially we're going to have some league level shenanigans.
No, he's going to give Tom Brady a Tonya Harding. Oh, look.
No, it wasn't. She didn't do it, Damian. She didn't do it, remember?
And you wouldn't do it either. You paid some idiots. And they did it. You knew
they were only supposed to send letters.
Right.
But anyways, moving on.
Super Bowl.
NFL is done.
Rob Riggle did the NFL honors and he was bad.
Oh,
but
he
there's
did?
One joke that he made.
I like
that was
him.
Pretty good. Yeah, no, he's good. When he pointed to one of the owners and he had a bowl cut,
and he said that is the real Super Bowl. It's pretty good. It's a really shitty haircut. Like, my billions of dollars to play to pay footballers and not $20 to pay for a haircut. That's pretty a stand-up joke. Right.
But anyways, we're going to talk about a movie here.
Oh, right.
So hold on.
Squaw.
Damien.
Oh, hi.
Am I the only one that recalls Andrew telling me that this was an action movie?
No.
Yes, you are the only one.
Why? I had a... It won the
Ballon d'Or. How would it have been an action movie?
That would be... Actually, you know what? I want that now. I want an action movie that's won the Ballon d'Or. Can you imagine what that looks like?
So when I started watching it, I stopped. Because I said, clearly I've gotten the wrong movie. Uh-huh. Because Andrew told me that this was a Korean action movie.
Korean too. All right.
Yep. So I imagine there was some sort of revenge in there. And the picture, right? The picture that everybody uses is the one with the guy. And he's very muscular. He's on the table. So I'm like, yeah, the two things action. In his hands, right? Like,
all right.
I didn't even realize there were things in his hands.
And you see the palm door symbol above him. And you're like, palm door action. I'm down for that.
You see the Ballon d'Or. Yeah.
The Ballon d'Or.
What are the biggest challenges in running a museum?
We're a museum of modern and contemporary art, so we need to present art that is the art of today, art that is absolutely cutting edge, and the competition is fierce. If you place an object in a museum, for instance, if we took your bag and placed it here, would that make it art?
Ah.
Just starting with that context, you need to know, defend this movie for not being an action movie.
Well, there are many actions that take place, but this is not an action movie. So yeah, the square, the Squaw. Ballon d'Or film winning square.
Yeah, the square to the circle to the square.
The latest film from Ruben Östlund, who gave us Force Majeure a few years back, which you guys have probably heard me continually talk about nonstop for like 4 years at this point.
Yep.
He.
Do you know what Force Majeure is about, Douglas? You sure?
It's about a coward. That's what I've been told.
Okay.
I need to watch it.
Yes, you should. Yes, you do.
This film centers around an individual by the name of Christian, who is the chief curator at this experimental, whatever you want to call it, art museum in Stockholm.
The Stockholm Art Museum is the name of
it. Right. And he is the center of just his life coming to basically shreds as professional and personal relationships all seem to happen in a ridiculous sense. The film happens to have a few actors we might know their names, including Elizabeth Moss and Dominic West. But
Kanye West?
Kanye West's brother, Dominic. You know him?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, cool.
300, I think?
And also an individual that we would have seen.
I forgot about it.
Oh, wow.
Terry Notary, who plays Oleg, the destroyer, and we know his work from films such as Kong and Planet of the Apes
and War of the Apes. I remember thinking that was a real funny joke. That given what he does in this movie, that he played all of these monkeys.
Yeah.
That was great.
It's great. So I saw this movie last year and I immediately fell in love with it. And since it's available now, I thought it was time for you guys to take a crack at it and cross my fingers, hope I'm not alone in loving this movie. To me, this movie plays as the driest, weirdest comedy you would have seen of last year, in which the film finds ways to play with masculinity and just the way men interact in this world, and at the same time having us view all of this through this, what's the best word I can come up with? This almost high class individual, professional individual. He's like the spitting image of the person you think you want to be. He has the great job. He drives a wonderful car as a family. He has the kind of work where you can chill out and make jokes with his friends and enjoy life. But at the same time, he just kind of seems to exist once this movie begins. And the thing that I focus on as it relates to masculinity and how this movie just plays with it is it starts, I don't remember how close to the beginning it is, but really early in the movie there's a scene in which he is confronted with a mad woman and somebody chasing down this woman, and he is prompted by his fellow man to help this woman not be murdered by this guy chasing her down. And it's one of those moments where as you're watching it, there's a tension that's created where you're like, is this really happening? Is this really going to happen? But us as the viewers are watching it are going like, there's a scam happening here, isn't there? Like, something's about to happen. And the movie plays with that time, that waiting time for what's about to happen, where it's revealed that, yeah, he was actually robbed, to kind of remind us that in this society, in this world, we're playing this role where we're all kind of just pseudo beta men. We're men who pretend that we want to be this action heroic person who can save somebody from trouble, but we ignore everything. In this movie, there's repeated shots of beggars who are the people who we should be helping in this world, or one of the people we should be helping in this world, but they're continually just ignored, right? There are times where you see them begging and everybody just walks by and ignoring them. That scene in question in which Christian is prompted to help and ends up being robbed, it begins with someone asking him for help. I think it's almost like a charity person asking for him to save a life, I think is the term that you see the person say. And he just kind of runs away from it going like, no, I don't have no money. And then by the end of that scene, he's asking people for help, saying, can I borrow your phone? Kind of in his own helpless manner. And everyone around him is just ignoring him. And the movie repeatedly, scene to scene, moment to moment, is a movie about that world in which we think we're making. That's where everyone continually talks about tolerance and inclusion and being safe and making it better, and then repeatedly showing us how, with everyone wanting this and given the opportunity to make it, they do nothing. And it does it in a way that kind of, that sits between being dry, ridiculous humor to frightening reality that I'm sure Damien will say, but Andrew, don't you know that about the world? But it's still, like, just seeing it in the movie, just being that thing where, because it's a movie, where movies are able to kind of lie to us and tell us whatever we want about the world, the movie can lift up your hopes and be like, maybe it'll show me this utopian world that I want, and then you hope for it, and then immediately it just goes, no, you're not getting that. And it was the kind of movie that when I saw it, I was just wowed by it. Rewatching it this week, I very much felt a lot of those things again, but at the same time, I felt that this movie, if nothing else, was a bit overlong. but still, like, it has its way of stretching out some of these moments where, like, the opening scene where he's robbed, there's the scene that everyone talks about, which is in the poster of the guy imitating the monkey, which, oh my lord, I love that scene so much. And there's a weirdly messed up, crazy moment of Christian post-sex, which, like, I don't even know what to say about a person in that moment with what's going on. I don't know what it's saying about him, what it's saying about the woman he's with, what it's saying he thinks about her. But this strange moment of just oddness, which I don't know if you guys found as humorous or if you just found it as awkwardly just strange, but it struck me, and I think this movie is, if nothing else, a striking movie of these moments. In fear of death, I will prompt Douglas before Damien to speak.
No, I think I need Damien to go first.
Hi, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. I'm Damien.
Damien, who loves Ballon d'Or action movies.
And the ball is being passed right back to me.
No,
so
it's fine. I'll go.
All right.
So last week I was admonished by our fearless leader for saying harsh things about movies and being overly broad. Yeah. So this week I'll take time out to say two positive things first. First of all, movies are hard. Take a lot of work.
These guys tried hard.
Right. And I want everyone to know that the subsequent things that I have to say about this movie is in no way meant to diminish you as a human person.
But it does.
Okay? It is not an attack on you personally. I just think you're bad at your job. Second of all, Andrew's viewing of this movie is that it is an attack on masculinity, which is not how I saw the movie. I actually saw the movie as an attack on the art world and Western philosophy in general, just how we look at the world here, and showing that while we spend a lot of time and a lot of money pretending to be these things, it is all a vapid, empty show. There's nothing really there. That is it, though, when it comes to good things that I have to say about this movie. Because Douglas Robinson.
Yes, Damien White.
I watched a movie that is so bad. So very, very bad.
That it won the Ballon d'Or.
Webster's Dictionary.
I knew this was going to happen. When he left and said he left something, I was like, he's brought notes.
All right. Webster's Dictionary defines a comedy. As a genre of film in which the main emphasis is on humor.
I think I see what he did there.
These films are designed to make the audience laugh through amusement and most often work by exaggerating characteristics for humorous effect. Now, while this movie did the latter, they exaggerated a lot of shit. The former, it being funny or humorous, is not the... This movie doesn't have a joke anywhere in this entire goddamn movie. I didn't even so much as crack. As my frown was so cemented on my face that it took 8 hours of sleep for me to regain muscle control over my mouth. This movie is so bad. Douglas, this movie starts out and there is a big... Andrew spoke about it. There's this big thing where this man is screaming for help for this woman that... Some madman that is off screen is going to... He needs to save them.
Damien, and did you feel the tension?
I felt no tension. What I felt is a metaphor for what the rest of the movie was. Where it's a giant production, a giant show. And then you think something happens. And then you realize you're robbed. I was robbed of my time. He was robbed of his cell phone. Now, the movie moves from there and he does something so spectacularly stupid that even when it was suggested, I went, this movie wouldn't do this. He wrote letters to everyone in an apartment building accusing them of stealing his phone.
Mm-hmm.
And then the movie went, let's give him back his phone. And then the movie proceeded. But he is supposed to be affably enough that you go, I'm still kind of on his side. But I was off his side from the very beginning. And then the rest of the movie highlight, this is what the movie was trying to do, highlight how the art world has just become this circular thing where people pretend to like something for the sake of liking it. It is the thing that Andrew would like this podcast to become, where we treat movies on an academic level, except instead of a more visceral, stupid level. He wants us to engage in better conversation. I can understand that. But I am certainly never going to do that. Because it ends up in people saying that they like things for academic purposes only. They talk about how important a thing is, or how it challenges the norm, or how it puts the viewer in discomfort, or all these myriad of things. But what they don't talk about is the goodnosity of the movie. It is why we've come up with this meter. When I say a movie is bad, that is what I mean. I don't need to vary it more to help people who would already... I am not the arbiter. I don't expect that when I say a movie is bad, people will go, Damien says a movie is bad, I will never watch this movie. People will watch it and make up their own minds, and that is fine. But when I say a movie is bad, that is exactly what I mean. I don't want to come up with variations of the way to say something sucks, when simply saying a movie is bad is good enough. Whether it's not for me is irrelevant, because if it's not for me, then the movie is bad. It not being for me and being for other people doesn't help my enjoyment with the movie. This movie sought to explore that, but did a bad job of it. At the end of the movie, I was more upset that I agreed with the overall thesis of this movie than I would have been if this movie was just out and out saying things that I disagreed with. I'd have gone, well, I mean, the director's a crazy person, so what are you going to do? But no, I see the point he's trying to make. I just did not enjoy... Well, how long is this movie? 2.5 hours?
It's
something
long.
Like that? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And the parts where they're accentuating the art is the part where you go, I know he's doing this on purpose, because that is he's trying to show how vapid and empty some aspects of the art world has become, right? Like a large portion of it has become. But that doesn't make the movie any better. Watching a man slowly drive around heaps of dirt in a museum is not entertaining. The first time you see the art piece, you're like, all right, there's dirt on the ground. And they show you again, and they show you again, and they show you again. But whatever the thing is he was trying to achieve, he didn't, because none of his movie is enjoy. Like, and for Andrew to come here, he's like, it's a dry comedy. He said the word. I knew he was going to do it, right? All of the people, because I've read a lot of reviews of this shitty movie, all of the people that like the movie think there's jokes, but there's no jokes anywhere in this movie. None whatsoever. Right? There are some surrealist aspects, but that is, it should have been in order to elicit some laughter out of, but it didn't. And all of the parts where, if I hadn't seen the trailer, the part where the chef is detailing the food that he made and everybody's walking off and he screams at all of them to stop, if that was in the trailer, I'd have gone, that's cute. But it was already in the trailer. The ape shit is what, 10 minutes? That was okay for about 90 seconds, and then it continued on and on and on, and then the resolution of that was ridiculous. Like, what were you trying to say with, like, none of this movie works. This movie is the garbage. It sucks. Is this one last thing? There's a part where they're exploring tolerance, where Dominic West, my boy,
yeah, the Q&A scene,
my boy from The Wire, was sitting there,
McNulty,
asking questions, and the man was having an episode and kept screaming things, right? And at some point, he had another man say, listen, the man has a neurological disorder. You guys need to show more tolerance, right? But what I think he was trying to say is being tolerant to the point where you refuse to be intolerant of anything is a fool's game. Is the thing I'm pretty sure he's just trying to get at. But the scenario that he set up is a bad scenario. Because the old guy is right. That man has a disorder. Right? And while there's things you can do, turning around and screaming at a man once you hear that he has Tourette's doesn't achieve, like, the man is still sick. If he could help himself, he wouldn't be going around screaming all of this shit. Right? There's better ways that he could have gotten his point across, but he misses the mark repeatedly. The square, like the explanation for that, what it does, if you stand in this square, and then the whole back half when he greenlights something so spectacularly stupid that it ruins his career. Like, all of this movie, it feels haphazard and incoherent and long. And those three things in any movie, if you add them all together, equals B, A, D, and then right below it, it is divided by F, T, M.
New hold on. Equation. Hold on. How many FTMs are in a BAD?
I'd have to check my Prometheus scale.
That's the first time hearing that equation.
Yes. It's new for this movie.
It's new for this 2018. Movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Douglas.
Damian, I have to say I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
Because you were actually able to go beyond and essentially intuit something from this movie. Right? I have to agree with you in the sense that it was attacking with both of you in a way. Andrew said that this movie was attacking
masculinity.
Mm-hmm. You said this movie was attacking
Westerns,
right?
Which I guess is the one in the same, because men built the West.
So you guys are half right. But it's not attacking any of those. Uh-huh. This movie is attacking me, right? It attacked me.
When did you become Western?
This movie
I've
struck
never seen
me
you with a cowboy and hat said, or anything.
And said, screw you, yeah. Right?
And said, what?
Yeah.
Step to the woo.
This movie is horrible.
It really is.
I sat down for 2.5 hours and hated Andrew every minute of it.
So it's like I haven't left, Ray.
Yeah. You didn't notice. I tried hard to make us change the movie. I stopped and I said, Andrew, can we? And by the way, that's when I watched Altered Carbon. Yes. I stopped 5 minutes in, and then didn't get a message from Andrew, right. And so kind of cleansed my palate with the first episode.
What's
of
something
Altered
better?
So, as I said to you, Damian, I could not get beyond just my blind hatred for this movie to even realize that there was supposed to be some sort of message. So, imagine that for a second. Imagine somebody watching this movie and essentially thinking to themselves, what?
Why?
Why? Ooh. Right?
Douglas, so, that is the same. Douglas, you saw the movie how I saw the movie. I just didn't want to come in here and be racked on the hand like last week. Bad day. Use your words.
So I mean,
stop stabbing the microphone.
This movie, right? I just want to let you guys know, is an incoherent patchwork of horse shit
and bad ideas.
And bad ideas, right? The only thing, and I tried, right? I remember in the middle of the movie saying, okay, I need to at least have some semblance of an understanding of what this movie is doing so that I can tell Andro about his parts.
Yes.
Right? And I remember thinking that the only common thread that I saw was this juxtaposition. And you guys have definitely elaborated much more than I in my underdeveloped brain had. I just saw the juxtaposition between the square, what it stood for, and what this man, you say his name is Christian Andro? Christian, was outwardly or publicly promoting and saying, you know, we need to be these good citizens.
Yes.
And it's so wonderful that the square represents that and hopefully will make us, you know, better think people. About becoming better people, right? Mm. Versus his just straight up contempt for anybody in this
there's
movie.
There's a Jamaican word that perfectly describes Christian. He's a drunk rat.
A guy, and as the movie goes, progresses, he reveals his assholishness to such a degree that it is mind-boggling. I recall a particular instance where somebody asks him for some cash and he says, boy, I don't have any cash, but I can buy you food. Mm-hmm. And you know what? That's a decent thing to do, right? And I remember kind of thinking to myself, boy, this person is a little bit much, because she was essentially like, all right, I want this sandwich. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, cool, I'll get you this sandwich. No onions. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, I saw in his face what would have been going on in my mind, like, okay.
Oh. What's he going to start?
But.
Oh, you've changed your mind.
His response was spectacular. He literally bought the thing, and I heard him. I was like, but remember the onions? Mm-hmm. What happened to the onions? He never said anything about the onions to the fella. The fella makes a sandwich with the onions in it. He throws it down at the woman and says, you can pick out onions with your fucking hands. And goes on about his business.
He's a nice
man. And that was, I think that was a point where you realize, not where you realize, because you saw it in a lot of things that he was doing before, but when you realize that it wasn't necessarily, there are some people who are assholes just because they're assholes.
Yeah.
That is a person who intends to be an asshole, who actively says, you know what? I am a horrible human being, and this is who I am, and this is who I want to be, and who I strive to be. And every day I wake up thinking, how do I improve myself in being more of an asshole? Right? No. Outside of that, again, this movie doesn't. The thread connecting these stories is non-existent.
It's Christian. He connects all the stories.
He exists in all the stories. He is on the screen. That is about it. And the things that happen in this movie just, and as I heard you speak about it, as I heard Andrew speak about it, place very far in the back of my mind is saying to myself, okay, maybe I kind of get what was happening here, and why and what they were trying to do, but it's really far away and I don't really believe that's that's somebody else talking.
That voice inside your head.
That voice inside my head.
He's called Steve. He's the one who tells you, don't listen to me, just keep watching Chef and ignore those people.
Buy more computer hardware.
Yeah, I just got a new computer case.
God damn right you did.
But so, this Andro.
Andro, I wish you could see what Douglas is doing to his face right now. Like, he's trying to knead his face.
This movie, right there, and what upsets me is that the more I try to point out things that I don't like about the movie, is the more I see somebody who likes the movie using it as their counter argument incorrectly.
Yeah.
But there are so many things that happen in this movie that there are absolutely no consequences for, that just throw me. And in some instances, sure, that can work. But you see, the thing is, that works when you're on board, right? When you're on board with the joke. And then it becomes this outlandish thing that builds upon itself. But I don't think this movie even does a good job at that, because let's forget for a moment that this movie is not funny.
What
a
joke.
Right, exactly. So let's forget for a moment that this movie is not funny. The important thing is exactly what I said. It needs to build on it, right? And at no point is there any sort of seed that germinates, that then builds, that then becomes this outlandish thing that in the end it is. This movie is just filled with random events that happen and end, and then life continues. Even when Damien, even when he gets fired from the place, he's not actually when did you see him not work at that place?
Never.
There is something significant that happens towards the end of this movie that I will not forgive this movie for. Because, again, and I think that's really what highlighted to me that there are no consequences to any of this. Well, not even this guy, just anybody's actions in this movie. And it...
The reporter has a monkey, though, so that's funny.
That, by the way, where did that come from?
It was foreshadowing the...
Sure. Sure.
No, hold on. Douglas, I want to talk a little bit about this. The lack of consequences is actually something that I think this movie intentionally leaves in, because there's a thing with this movie, and let's not talk about the resignation, firing, whatever, because as far as we're concerned, he's fine, right? Even if at the end of the movie he's technically not working anymore, we don't know, whatever, right? One thing that I found about this movie that I think kind of is something that I don't quite have a grip on to what it was really looking at, but it seemed like an interesting thought to me, was Christian's inability to admit his own fault to everything, right? We've said it repeatedly, his assholery throughout the whole of this movie, and all of these times where you're having these conversations where you're saying, look at this guy who did this thing to me, and you make yourself into the most empathetic version of the story, right? There's a scene late in the movie in which he's confronted by a child about him accusing him of being a thief, because, as we mentioned, he puts a note into everybody's door. So
yeah, essentially, he went into the projects
and accused project.
The entire pretty much.
Pretty much. And throughout the entire of the incident, he continues to just tell the child to go away, right? He refuses to take any form of, accept any form of blame for what's going on. There's even earlier in the movie when they're actually doing this action, he takes his co-worker with him, right? And in the car, he looks to the co-worker and said, you said you were going to go, right? And then he pulls the dickiest moment I've ever seen. I think if we were talking about a movie in which the main character committed complete genocide of our country, I'd forgive him more than what this guy actually did. which is looking at the coworker in this one moment, which has absolutely nothing to do with anything to do with work, and says, but you realize I'm your boss, and I don't know if I can trust you to do anything after you backed out of this thing. I'm like, what? Like, this guy is obviously a psychopath of some regards. Right?
I feel like, Andrew, this may just be touching a button close to home for you. I did not have that kind of response.
Absolutely not. Of course, that's what he did.
Actually, the funny thing is, I thought you were going to go with another aspect of that scene. I thought you were going to say the assholish thing he did was he went back to the guy and said, here what, I need to take your jacket because I need to look poor. Right? I thought that's where you were going to
No. I wasn't. I left that part alone.
I'm a public figure. Semi-public. I won't fit in if I go dressed like a person. Give me your poor people jacket.
And it's ridiculous. And then when we come to the resolution of all of that thread, of the whole threatening letter and the child, all of that thread, the resolution, he continues to refuse to admit blame, but only at a moment where he no longer has to stare at a human being. When he's looking into his phone and recording this message that he's sending off, does he admit to doing anything of any sort wrong? But at the same time, as you listen to his recording, he starts off apologetic and then slowly descends into blaming it on society, as opposed to accepting the blame completely for himself. And it felt to me as one of those moments when, think about any public scandal that happens in the world, and you start to read the press release apology that comes out, where you're like, I feel like the only understanding you have of your problem is the financial problem that came from people not liking what you did. Right? And it felt like justice, it felt like another aspect of the movie quote talking about how masculinity and people in society have twisted to being wanting to talk about looking good rather than being good. Right? Because the actions don't matter because we're in the herd and no one's going to see us when we're acting. It's only what we say that matters, and if we say nice things instead of doing the nice things, it's good. It's okay. And this
join the conversation.
And I think it's one of those things that, once again, I think Douglas kinda said it. If you're on board with this movie, you kind of lean into all of it and it becomes evidence against the person who hated everything.
Yeah, because can I tell you, you couldn't hear me frantically pointing at the monitor when you started this argument, because essentially I was saying to Damien, see, this is exactly what I said. And Damien nodded wholeheartedly. Andrew, your argument is essentially you taking the things that are wrong with the movie and saying, but these are the good things about the movie. Right. You know? Which, you know, I, on an objective level, I can say to myself, I should be able to accept this, but subjectively, Andrew, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. It is really frustrating that the overall, like when I took a step back and looked at this movie, the thing that it's trying to get at is a thing I wholeheartedly agree with, right? This world sucks. And people have done an incredible job of pretending to do shit when they're not doing a goddamn thing. But why is this movie bad? Oh boy. Just such. I can't see why it won the Ballon d'Or. I really do. Because the defenders of this movie are resolute. They don't let anything pass. Can't score on these defenders. So this movie was always going to win. Yeah. Never conceded.
But what about Cristiano Ronaldo?
Just
so
trash.
Can we talk about spoilers for a second?
Sure.
Alright.
Andrew, you realize this man kills a child.
Yeah.
All right. No. Not
actually, just... you know what I found funny? Well, not funny, but I found about that scene. Like afterwards, in that scene, after he's killed the child, you hear the sound of the child being like, "Help!" Yeah. kind of like a whimpering cat out in the rain or whatever. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you kind of watch him sit there, and you get this feeling that he's sitting there going like, "Can you just please be quiet?" like he'll go away soon, right? I don't have to go back outside, right? Yeah. And then the sound goes away shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm. And then he goes out there and goes through the garbage looking for the child, because it comes back again. But Andrew, he kills a child. Nothing happens to him. And
I mean, he blew up a child and got fired.
There we go.
Allegedly.
I mean, let's not even argue about there were no witnesses. They were making a whole heap of noise. And the child was whimpering, calling for help.
I mean,
right?
Listen, if you help one child, then you have to help someone. Yeah,
exactly.
Pretty soon you'll be father whole long on what's the point.
And, you know, even that child story, like, that was just... Why was that allowed to continue?
Douglas, where are the jokes?
There are no jokes. Andrew, I'm not even... No, fine. Listen. Andrew I'm Robinson. Not even getting upset about that. Because right. Because here's the
you
thing.
Stop. You
more than me, right?
Yes.
You're wrong.
Yes.
You went and looked at other things about this movie.
Uh-huh.
And you then found out... You found out that
here.
Other people thought it was funny. I didn't do that.
Douglas.
And so, this is the first time I've heard that anybody thinks
so
that
Douglas,
this movie is funny.
I went to read those reviews so that I could get myself
physically
and mentally
fit?
Prepared for the nonsense that was going to come through my headphones.
Okay.
Andrew Robinson, where are the
That's
jokes?
My name. Where are the
Donde
jokes?
Donde esta de haha?
I thought you were going to say bibliotheque.
El haha. La haha.
the jokes for me are just in the exaggerations, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not about setup and punchline,
obviously,
right? Because if it were so simple, anyone could do it, right?
Yeah.
Make
the funny happen. No way.
I mean, you talked about the art exhibits themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they are ridiculous in themselves. There's a scene late in the movie that I adore, in which Elizabeth Moss is talking to Christian, basically confronting him, if we were to even use this word, about an evening they had together.
Mm-hmm.
And they're talking in front of this exhibit full of chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And just the sound of the chairs just interrupting their conversation repeatedly, like, it I found it funny.
Oh, even in description, I'm dying with laughter.
I know
it's
you are.
So fun,
right?
Yeah, a conversation interrupted by oh my god, it's so good. Oh,
and then again, that conversation, along with almost everything in this movie, as it was happening, I just said, "This
it
doesn't need to be happening. Can we stop it?" You know, it was. This movie was just.
It's
eternally
so aggressively bad.
Upsetting.
It's so aggressive with its badness. Like, it didn't give us a chance. Not even a little sliver to go, come with me. Right? From start to finish, you're just like, fuck this movie.
Damien, this movie starts with an interview that consists of two fucking questions.
Yeah.
One of which I think might be, can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Douglas,
the man says the absence of the thing is proof that it was there. And that is this type of college grade douchebagger.
Yeah. But you see, at that point, I hadn't realized what we were in for. So
and
I just said,
like,
you know what?
Right.
I know who this guy is.
So,
this guy is one of those guys.
So when he says it, I'm like, oh, they're just going to spend the rest of the movie making fun of this dipshit. No.
No.
They're robbing him and you're like, this is still weird. But I assume it will just be a series of stupid events involving this man that thinks he's above it all. And at some point, Like, even Moss at some point said to him, you really think you're that special or something to that extent. But the movie spends no time making fun of this dipshit. They're just like, these are the scenarios. And the movie starts there, and now it will end. And somewhere in the middle, we put this monkey to confuse
because he is the joke, right? Even in even it's bringing up the monkey, dog. Even
it's not. You can't listen to me. You, sir, Mr. Anti-War on everyone, you don't get to come to step to me and say, oh, he is the joke. No, dog. No, he is not. If you don't like... If a man tells a joke in the forest and there's no one to laugh, is it funny? The answer is no.
So Damien, I just want to let you know, Andra's officially turned off his mic, and he's just screaming profanities right now at you, at me, at just everything.
Uh-huh. I thought my mic was off. How did you hear that?
We have a separate secret mic in the room. Piping in the audio. We hear you sleep. It's loud. Yeah. You need to get it. Yeah.
It's running on a closed circuit. Yeah.
Fucking shitty ass goddamn fucking movie. This movie sucks.
This movie is...
Fuck this movie.
Oh my god. Can we talk about something? Let's talk about something.
Please.
What else do you guys want to talk about?
The Cloverfield Paradox.
I haven't watched it.
Oh, really?
No.
It was on right after the Super Bowl. Douglas, yeah, how long did it take you to watch it?
I didn't realize it was on after the Super
Bowl. I wasn't going to watch it, but then something happened. Night. Or at least I wasn't going to watch it so soon, but then something happened that made me watch it pretty early. And we can talk about that later.
Because you haven't seen it, so that's fine. Yeah. We'll move on. It's... a Netflix movie, if that helps.
it said Cloverfield 3, right?
Yeah. I know it didn't. Oh, it did not.
Remember that franchise we love two movies from?
I still love that franchise.
I love both of those movies.
In fairness, the second one is so much better than the first one.
In retrospect,
I think I only truly love the second one.
The thing about it is that the first two movies... The second movie is a completely different movie.
Yeah.
So the first one, you know what it is. It's
It's a
dumb monster movie, right? Yeah. The second one didn't even need to be a monster movie, yeah, but was great after that.
And then they were just like, right,
it was
at the
this
end.
Just spectacular, small,
right?
Just internal hostage
and
movie.
And at the very end, they're like, Cloverfield, bitches, yeah, and ran off the stage. And, this movie didn't hit the heights that I expected with the word Cloverfield in there, but we'll talk about that whenever Andrew gets around to watching
it. Another time.
Andrew, have you seen Altered Carbon?
I have not.
All right, so we can't talk about that.
I mean, you can.
Better than Cloverfield.
Absolutely watched all of that show, by the way, over the weekend. I love it.
It's better than Cloverfield. No, sorry. Our new scale is it's better
no,
than
no,
Prometheus.
No. That's a movie scale.
Oh, sorry.
This is TV.
This is better
so
than
it's
Arrow.
Better than,
yes,
the Arrow.
It's better than Arrow.
Yeah.
The new movie scale is it better than Prometheus? And the square, worse than Prometheus.
And this was over there seething.
What can I say? I can't say anything to that. I'm just here quiet to myself, understanding my place, right, in this ecosystem.
Anyway, Andrew, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Yes.
I actually have seen pretty much nothing this week. I've watched the two movies we're talking about, and I watched Chappelle again.
Yay, Chappelle, I saw Chappelle. That. We could talk about Han Solo. I've seen that trailer.
Trailers. No. The one trailer that is there to rule them all is reminding me there's a Mission Impossible this year.
Yeah.
I saw that Mission trailer Impossible. And
very good.
It is like
Evil Simon Pegg is back.
I saw that trailer. I know immediately what is happening in that movie. Like, I've seen the movie they're putting out. Why am I still so excited to watch
because
a Mission
Impossible
movie? That I've seen all of this.
Because they are great.
This movie. We've seen all of every one of those movies.
Right? Like, actually giddy watching. The Super Bowl was fun. But most people, especially in Jamaica, don't give two shits about the Super Bowl. So let's talk about what's truly important. Them ads, right? The Tide continuous ad throughout the Super Bowl. What? You didn't see it.
I haven't watched them. So I know what it's up. I know the ads, but I haven't watched
So what Tide did was take great ads from previous Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And start them and it's Tide. Like, no. And
Hopper from right. Stranger Things is in them, apparently.
So that was spectacular. The solo trailer, I like shorter one more than this longer one.
Yeah, me too. I think the shorter one is better.
It's strange. I love those trailers. Mm-hmm. But if I had to pick a Star Wars movie that I didn't care to actually get to watch, it's wherever Han Solo came from.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't really care that much. But the trailer promises me... Right. You know...
The trailer looks fun.
The trailer looks... It looks beautiful, and it promises me the same sort of promise, except without necessarily the fun action that Black Panther promises. So it gave me the same vibe as the Black Panther trailer. And so, plus,
watching.
You know. Anyway, Danny, we all know we're going to watch it.
Watching Danny Glover's mustache is pretty good.
Danny Glover?
Yeah, Danny Glover.
All right, cool.
Mm-hmm. He's grown up now, so you become. You start as Donald.
Then pass a certain when does he become too old for this shit? How many years do we give him?
When they reboot Lethal Weapon with him and the young Chinese person that we can make fun of.
So I don't know.
The guy from Iron Fist. They can make me Jackie Chan.
So I don't know how real this is, but have you guys seen that there is a YouTube video making the rounds where it's supposed to be Donald Glover, or sorry, Danny
Glover,
rapping about.
I've seen that video.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's the worst.
That's what the internet
and it for. Reminds me why I fucking hate Childish Gambino.
I actually prefer that to Childish Gambino because at least it's just dumb Star Wars jokes in my head.
Fair enough. But I am so upset that I like a Childish Gambino album. And when I say like
the last one,
I don't like that
Gambino album.
I adore that album. I would murder for that album. That album is
because
just super.
He channeled his inner Prince. The last album. That halftime show, with the exception of Justin Timberlake.
I didn't watch it, but
shitty outfit.
Was it good? I'm
it
sure
was
it's
really
fine.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I like him performing.
He's good.
I would probably go to a concert of his.
Yeah, he's good at this.
Yeah. Even though I don't know most of his songs, but they're fine. I'm actually thinking about buying this new album.
It's weird to have shit on a sport for 30 years. And no, turn around. I like it. It really does. It feels surreal.
Damien, am I allowed to count that as another thing that I'm now right about?
But I gave you that from last year.
I know,
from
but like...
From the last Super Bowl, I gave you that. When you were spectacularly wrong about the rules. Speaking of which, Douglas.
Yeah.
There's a point a man caught the ball, took two steps and dived into the end zone.
Yeah.
And the people doing the commentary were just like,
There's
no way that is a catch. Based on these, and then they showed videos of the things that happened before, and they're like, if those weren't catches, this sure shit isn't a catch. And they're like, that's a catch. And they're like, well, fuck it. And then later in the game, there's another one where
but it sounds like it's a catch from your description.
He caught it in the end zone and then took like was like fumbling before he fell down.
Oh,
but like his foot,
that's why.
His
okay.
foot finally
so he didn't have control.
No, so this was a separate catch. Uh-huh. And they're like, that is sure shit. Not a catch. And the ref is like, fucking catch. And he's like, two of them are just like, I don't understand.
To be fair, those refs get it wrong sometimes too, right? And that's why they have the they have VAR, except
Douglas,
they've had it for a long time.
This is the Super Bowl. And these guys have been doing it for a minute. And they're just like, I don't know how to say.
But actually,
like,
you see, that's the thing about NFL versus football, right? So with football, there's kind of this baked-in understanding that the ref is going to fuck up somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm going to think something is wrong or right. And every once in a while, he'll get it you know, wrong. In NFL, there's almost this sort of honed... developed almost kind of like everybody thinks there's a rule book for everything.
Yeah.
So when you watch it and they're just like, that's a catch, mm-hmm. or that's a touchdown, or he fumbled. They're 100% sure that they're right.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair to them, they usually are. But that's, I think that's where that comes from. Yeah. When now that element of human error comes into play, which it could have been or couldn't. I didn't watch a game, so I really don't know. Mm-hmm. It's like you're wrong on strong. You're like, what? Mm-hmm. Especially also because they've developed their own version of VAR. They
right.
have
their video review system at it for a good long
yeah.
time, while football is just pretending.
Yeah, they're not starting that. All right, cool. No.
Is that offside? We can't use video to guess. We just
and
have
they've
to guess.
They've developed their video thing fairly. It's fairly good, right? Yeah.
No,
it's decent.
Listen, you can tell that the NFL spends a significant amount of money
yeah.
on their video
and
technology.
It's funny how much money they spend on things like that when, no, I don't want to belittle them because they make a bag of money,
yeah.
right? But Damien, worldwide football does so much more.
It's not
and,
fair. That's an unfair
and
comparison.
Those guys
and
are just
have
like,
a flag.
Well,
they barely
I mean,
have a flag.
Was it? I don't know.
Were the cameras on? Who gives a shit? Just guess. Let the fans be upset. Just guess. Who gives a shit? What are you going to do? Watch the NFL?
it's like apparently in the Tottenham and Liverpool match on Sunday or Saturday, whenever it was, there was a penalty that got pulled back.
Yes.
So the play got pulled back for it. And I remember Nicholas is a big Liverpool fan. He was upset. And I had to ask him, was it a penalty? And he said, well, yeah, I think it was. So I told him, go fuck himself. Stop
yeah,
it. Right?
Stop the complaint.
I haven't watched Match of the Day yet. But I was listening to one of my podcasts and they were talking about Match of the Day where apparently the feed was on the referees as they were the linesman and everybody as they were talking about, is that a penalty?
Right.
Is it? And apparently they lip synced one guy and they're like, he says he's not sure. So one guy says, is it a penalty? The other guy says, I don't know. I can't be sure.
Can't be sure.
And they pulled it back. They essentially guessed it.
Yep.
And they were caught on camera doing
that's
so.
That's a real sport.
And now I haven't watched Match of the Day in a little while. No, I definitely want to watch
that
episode.
Who gives a shit?
This is what we're dealing with international
don't
football.
Worry, World Cup is coming.
That makes so much
more. We're
going to
be on the world stage. People getting big calls wrong. What is that off? Are you blind? Why is he even on the line? You know what? This game sucks.
I don't know how did we get here. What are we talking about?
We talked about a bad movie, and then Andrew didn't watch anything.
Okay.
So we brought up Cloverfield, he didn't watch that.
Yeah.
We brought up Altered Carbon, he didn't watch that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were left to talk about sports.
I think the only thing I could talk about is me talking more about SNL.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to watch that episode. I still haven't.
I know what SNL is. I'm not
naive.
Lying to myself that it is perfect comedy every week or every day. There was a period this season where I had to press stop and leave it for like a month.
Andrew, and like, I haven't watched a few episodes just because of that. It's hard sometimes.
Like even this episode that just happened, the Natalie Portman episode. Like I think I like 4 sketches out of that show.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
Hopefully you get 2 sketches and Weekend Update.
There's this great sketch that I loved with Tina Fey where they were doing the Patriots versus the New England versus Philadelphia leading up to the Super Bowl.
Oh, is that a new thing? I saw that gif about the Philadelphia or whatever. I thought that was just from an old
episode. From this episode gone by. And they were doing it framed in like doing it as when the war was happening, the Civil War was going on, and they were just like, New England is like, we won all the wars, and Philadelphia shows up, but we good at it too, you gotta give us a shot. And it was dumb, but I liked it.
Yeah,
especially I guess it was helped a lot by Tina Fey being in the sketch.
No, of course, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, Natalie Portman does her rap again, and Andy Samberg actually came back.
Oh, nice. I was that's what I was hoping for as well, because he is necessary for that.
But Chris Parnell was not there.
Fucking Chris Parnell. I'm going to have to call him.
Speaking of Andy Samberg, that Jurassic Park movie, part 2.
Sorry, what?
How do you get from Andy Samberg? Get you to that?
Never mind. That Jurassic Park movie.
So, we're going to move on because I think we're all in agreement on that. But, Andrew, I want to bitch again about Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
And his fucking Netflix show. And the they don't have all the episodes.
They don't have all the episodes?
Yeah, I've confirmed this now. So, Wikipedia speaks to one. There's definitely an episode with George Costanza.
Yes, there is. I remember that. I think he did that one for a Super Bowl. Yeah. And it was in character. So he went and he spoke to him and he was George Costanza in character.
Yeah, it's not on Netflix. And I have...
Costanza isn't funny.
And so I am... I also remember reading a Wikipedia about how Michael Richards was on more than one episode, and I don't know about that.
I think it might have just been one.
Oh, really?
I could be wrong, but yeah.
But yeah, so there is that, and also there are not enough episodes. I'm pretty sure. Did you try and watch any of them? Are there actually new episodes in this?
Like, I've kind of gone in and watched a couple here and there, but they've all looked like old episodes.
Yeah, because I don't see any new ones. I'm assuming
the new season hasn't been done yet, so they just kind of threw it up already.
But I thought it was. Upset. Yeah, I really want more of that because I've finished it. And I finished it real quick, much faster than I thought I would for a 6 or 7 year old property.
Yep. I mean, a lot of the seasons were short and they are all like 10 to 20 minute videos.
Exactly. So I could sit down and watch 6 of them and it would take me maybe an hour. All right.
I still can't stop thinking about that. I saw an interview with Seinfeld where he was talking about the Comedians in Cars and how when he started it, the first season, he, like how you'd expect doing a show like that, he just called up his friends to do it.
Yeah. Oh.
Right.
Oh.
And immediately they were like, just all white men.
Yeah.
And you know, it's one of those things where you go like, "Oh right, I never even thought about it."
Yup. He actually, in one of the episodes, he talks about that. He's like, "Yeah, so they called me on that," and I was like, "Oh, I didn't think about it."
Because you're a racist.
Racist.
It's like that's right. I've forgotten his name. Brand new, who is the developer for Spelunky.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently he in an interview was talking about that game and about the development and people responding to it, where there's a point in the game where there's a woman you can save, mm-hmm. and you can literally pick her up and carry her away.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, "That's objectifying women."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing, I'm like, technically that's actually the most accurate use of that term, because he's turned her into a literal object for like points or whatever.
Yes.
Yep.
And then he's like, "But honestly, I never even thought about it. Good call, people."
Yes, but that doesn't make it right. Monsters.
Monsters.
Yep.
Internet is the worst.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we turn it off now?
Yeah, but then I wouldn't get my Netflix.
Haven't we had enough? We don't deserve Netflix.
Damien. As a society. Damien, are you telling me...
You've done so much bad shit.
Are you telling me that you're not willing to let the internet go on with its shenanigans so you can watch the end of the effing world one more time?
I can buy that. I'll just go back. I'll revert to 1999 rules.
Question.
Where you buy all of the shit you want.
Fair enough. But quick question for you.
Yeah.
Where are you going to buy it?
If there's no Netflix, they have to sell that shit.
Where?
On the TV, you call it.
I love how you started and you're like, "Wait, no. I can't say on Amazon."
1999 rules. You call what?
a CD outlet. Or in Ligani. Fucking Columbia House.
Columbia House. You call Columbia House. That is what the pause was for. I was trying to remember Columbia House and couldn't get it.
I actually had an account with them when I was in the States.
You call Columbia House.
And by the way, those guys are aggressive.
Yes.
Right? So I remember somebody warned me and I was like, oh, but I know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. They would just send you something. And if you didn't send it back, they'd charge you for it.
Yeah. They're monsters.
They're assholes.
I'm surprised that business model didn't last. It's true, girl.